I'd rather have a Raleigh.
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 Because Raleigh is the only cigarette that gives you all three.
People are funny.
Yeah, John Goodell's People Are Funny show from Hollywood. Brought to you by Raleigh Cigarettes. And here's the man who'll really help you earn your Raleighs, Art Linkletter.
By the way, I just wondered offhand, is there anybody here in the audience tonight who'd like to have a brand new car absolutely free, huh? Oh, my, we're going to tell you how you can win one a little later in the program. But right now, Ted Myers, who's first to prove that people are funny?
Art, she's Mrs. Rita Bradford. Mrs. Bradford, meet Art Linkletter.
Hello, Rita. How are you? I'm going to have to move this microphone way down, Rita, because you're just a little girl, about five feet even about?
Not five feet.
4 feet, 11 and a half, mm-hmm. And you weigh about 100 pounds even?
Yes.
You're married to Mr. Bradford?
Yes.
What's he do?
He's working in the factory.
Uh-huh. And your hometown is Middleton, Connecticut?
Middletown, Connecticut.
Uh-huh. Are you just a housewife? You do something?
Yes. No.
Yes, no.
Well, I was. I used to be an etcher.
An etcher?
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. But you found some powder, and now you don't etch. Now, Rita... Do you think people are funny, definitely?
Oh, yes, I do.
Uh-huh, you have friends. Did you know that Raleigh Cigarettes are giving away a brand new car every day?
No,
have
I didn't.
Have you heard
know.
About that?
No.
Well, you might win one.
Oh.
Anybody can win one. We'll tell you how to go after one before the program's over. By the way, speaking of going after something and getting it, you're married. I don't have to ask you this. Did you ever take part in a manhunt? You got your man, did you? But I mean a manhunt with bloodhounds and detectives in the swamplands. You never did that?
No, I never
Tonight,
did.
Tonight, Rita, you are going on a manhunt.
Oh.
Here, have a vitamin pill. Now listen carefully. You're not hunting for an ordinary man. No, sir. We want you to go looking for a man with love of adventure in his soul. Now, where do you think is the logical place to look for an adventurous man, Rita?
Oh, I think Hollywood and Vine.
Oh, Rita. I hope your husband's with you. Now, we think we actually have surveyed the entire town, and we have discovered that the logical place is the reading room of a public library. In the mystery section, because that's where a man goes looking for adventure. And that's where we're sending you tonight. We want you to go into the public library. What nicer, quieter place could there be? What safer spot? Pick out a mild-looking gentleman sitting there reading studiously. Walk up quietly behind him. Then you look over his shoulder. You won't have to bend down much. Whisper into his ear mysteriously, "Don't move. That's the right page. That's the right book. You're the man." Let's hear you say that mysteriously.
"Don't move."
Go ahead. You're...
That's the right page.
Yes. That's the right book.
That's the right book.
You're the right man.
You're the right man.
See, that's a code that you're working out. You sound about as mysterious as a fried egg. Get a lot of mystery in. Now, remember, you have to whisper. You're in the reading room of a public library. Now, no matter what he says, you flash, give me it, will you, fellas, this beautiful keepsake diamond ring. Now, that's a real diamond ring. It's worth $500. See that? Now, you show him the ring and you whisper, "The chief says this is yours if you come with me." Now, if he says you have the wrong guy, you argue with him, saying he must be the right man. He was reading the right page in the right book in the right place at the right time. Besides, doesn't he want the diamond ring? Got that?
Yes.
Tell him the ring is a genuine keepsake. It's worth $500, and it really is. And all he has to do to help you get it is to help you deliver this birdcage a block down the street. Now, here's the birdcage. It's all covered with nice green muslin because it looks mysterious that way, see? Now, where's your purse? A black purse. Let me put the diamond ring in the purse. Oh, look at that purse.
Oh, no.
Oh, murder. I have never seen such a makings of a rat trap. Now, and look, here's an imitation gun. An imitation gun that looks plenty real. And we'll put that in the purse down near the bottom. And when you open your purse to flash the ring, you just kind of casually let him see the gun, see? The guy's sitting there reading a mystery story to begin with. Now, you think you got all that straight?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah. Now, I wonder what the guy'll do and how he'll react. Whoa. Anyway, Irvin Atkins, our head worm, our bookworm, will take you to the library. There's a good library on Melrose Avenue. And from then on, you're on your own. By the way, Rita, speaking of bookworms, have you read Freckles?
Yes, I have.
Most people have brown ones. I can't understand that. Say goodbye to our audience.
Oh, what a little girl.
Oh, my, what a little girl to get into such a big trouble. Well, there she goes. I wonder if she'll find a guy adventurous enough. As we've told you so many times, she's absolutely on the up and up. She can pick out any man she wants reading there in that library, and we'll see what happens. Now that she's gone... Doggone, there's one little thing I forgot to tell her. Can't understand how those things can slip my mind. Now, remember, she's going to be in the sacred quiet of a public library reading room. And it just so happens that inside that innocent-looking birdcage she's carrying with the cloth cover is a big alarm clock. It's set to go off 13 minutes from now when she's bound to be inside the library, and it'll sound something like this. And what's more, the birdcage is wired shut. She can't get in to stop the clock. That poor librarian will blow her top. And now we hear from a man with a preference.
I'd rather have a Raleigh.
Yes, millions of smokers are saying, I'd rather have a Raleigh. Because Raleigh is the only cigarette that gives you all three.
First, throat protection.
Raleigh tobacco is now scientifically vacuum cleaned to safeguard you from microscopic particles of tobacco dust. No greater throat protection can be had in any cigarette.
Second, better taste.
Yes, perfect taste from the finest tobaccos grown, combined in the masterful Raleigh blend created by the world's largest producers of cigarettes.
Third, lasting freshness.
Long-lasting freshness, made possible by Raleigh's original Thermovac process.
Remember, throat protection, better taste, lasting freshness. And it takes all three to make a perfect smoke. That's why millions are saying, I'd rather have a Raleigh.
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 Okay, Ted Myers, who's our next volunteer?
Artie's Mr. Ray Fulmer. Mr. Fulmer, meet Art Linkletter.
Hi, Ray.
How you do, Art?
Ray's tall fella, about midway between blonde and brunette, curly hair, about 6 feet even, or 5'11"?
5'10".
5'10, you weigh about 185, don't you, Ray?
160.
You're wearing a discharge button. You were in which branch of the service?
Air Corps.
Overseas?
No.
Where were you flying what kind of a ship?
B-17.
B-17. Your hometown is Jerome, Idaho. Small town is that?
That's right.
You're married or single, Ray?
Married.
Married man. Any kiddies?
Got a little girl.
Good. Wife with you tonight?
Yes, sir.
She let you volunteer?
She boosted me up to it.
I guess she's never heard this program. Ray, are you planning to buy a new car when you can get one?
I sure am. Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe you can get one free. Raleigh Cigarettes is giving away a brand new 1946 Chevrolet every day. And we'll tell you how to try for one in a few minutes. In fact, we're going to announce some of the winners tonight. Just think, a new car free. It's something you can dream about. Speaking of dreams, Ray, what kind of a fellow are you on this dream department? Do you sleep well at night?
Pretty well.
About 8, 9, 10 hours sleep a night?
Oh, no, not quite.
Are you having trouble getting to sleep?
No, I get to sleep all right.
Don't you pity these poor people who toss and tumble? Insomniacs, I think they call
them. I sure do.
Boy, it's a blessing to be able to sleep like a log. Don't you agree, Ray?
Yes, I do.
Wait a minute. We used a phrase rather carelessly there. You ever wonder what that means, to sleep like a log?
No.
Well, you agreed it's great to sleep like a log, and we're going to let you. We want our contestants to be happy, so boys, get Mr. Ray, get his coat off, lay him down on that riser up there with a little pillow on it. Careful, he's a log now. Be careful, don't break his limbs. Now, Ray, we want you to listen very carefully. We'll move a hand mic over there to get your reactions, but we want you to close your eyes when I give you the signal and get ready to snore, because if you can keep snoring without talking, without opening your eyes until a gong rings, you get a $50 bill. In the meantime, all we'll do is to show you what happens to a little log lying in the forest at night. Of course, now, Ray, get this. If you'd rather not be a log, now is the time to object. Time's up. We have grand sports on this program. Remember now, all you have to do is to keep snoring. No talking until the gong sounds again and you get the $50. All right, start snoring, Ray. Boy, there's a guy who really whips it off, doesn't he? Now let's see what happens to a log lying peacefully and sleeping in the forest. As the sun drops over the horizon, along comes an old forester who starts stripping bark off the log. Boy, strip off his shirt. Get his shirt off. Keep snoring. Remember the $50, Ray. There go the buttons, and there goes the nice white shirt over to one side. There is a log with a wonderful piece of a bare chest on it. Now, suddenly across the peaceful floor of the forest, a tribe of little red ants come back to their home in the log. Open the bottle and dump the ants on the log's bare stomach. And there are the ants. Keep snoring, Ray. How does it feel? Don't talk. That's right. Be smart. Nothing seems to disturb him, even ants in his trance. Then a little rain cloud goes by over the forest on its way to Florida. And there's a gentle shower. Boys, the watering can, please. There's a nice shower. It's wonderful to sleep like a log, isn't it? Don't stop snoring or you lose the $50. Of course, a full moon is now shining down on the log. And here is the perfect setting in the deep forest for two lovers. A boy and a girl come out and sit on the log. Where are the two lovers? Quick.
We haven't any lovers.
No lovers? No lovers? Don't worry, Ray. We're not going to let you down. You stay right where you are and keep snoring while I try to find a boy and a girl in our studio audience. Let's see. I've been watching a CB down the front row. You mind standing up? Redhead, what's your name?
Raymond Nittle.
Where are you from, Ray?
Springvale, Maine.
And you're single, are you?
Yes.
You're in the CBs?
Yes.
How old are you?
18 years old.
18. Okay, you're fine for one lover. You come with me. We'll find another lover. Dee-dee. Come out here. That young lady right... Oh, look, Ray. What I found for you. Come right out here. You've got to get... Come here. I'll come and get you. You are Miss...
Miss Jean Delaney.
Where are you from, Jean?
Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania.
That's where you live now?
Oh, I live in Beverly Hills now.
What do you do?
I'm an infant nurse.
An infant nurse. You're about 19.
Oh, no.
How old are you?
23.
Well, that's all right, Ray. Don't be discouraged. You think 5 years is too much between possible love interests or not?
No.
You think 18's too young?
Well, I think it all depends.
Well, you're an infant nurse. No. You ought to be able to handle that. By the way, before we go any farther, your first name is?
Jean.
And yours is?
Raymond.
Oh, say hello.
How do you, Raymond?
Hello, Jean.
Uh-huh. See how you're making progress? First names already. Now, by the way, do you prefer, Jean, the cool, intellectual type of man or the strong, dominating personality type kid?
Well, I think the strong, dominating.
What about girls? What kind of girl do you prefer, Ray?
Irresistible.
would you class Jean in that irresistible group?
Yes.
Yeah, she does look all right, doesn't she? Brunette. You prefer brunettes, by the way?
Yes, I do.
Do you have any objection to redheads, Jean?
Oh, no.
Come up on the stage with me, both of you. We'll proceed with our love scene. And our Ray up here, our log, has been snoring just as he would in the trees. Now, of course, sit down right on the log. Sit right on the log, please. We're out in the forest. First time I ever heard a log grunt. Sit right on the log. Sure, that's it. Say, now, don't pat the log's bare chest. Put your arm around Gene, will you, Ray? And put your head on his shoulder. Remember, you're out in the forest. By the way, Gene, I was just wondering, since this idyllic love scene is being played out in the forest, you're sitting on a log. Do you think, how long an engagement period do you think is proper between a boy and a girl, Gene?
Well, I think 6 months is okay.
What do you think about that, Ray?
6 months.
No longer?
No.
Do you think that girls' parents should give their permission before you get married?
Yes, I do.
What about the girl?
I believe they should also.
The girl should. That's very fine. How many children in the ideal family do you think, Ray?
Four.
What do you think, Jean?
Two. I won't marry him.
Oh, you're going to ruin the stunt just on account of a couple of kids. No. Who do you think should handle the money in a family, Jeannie?
I think the lady.
And he should give the man a certain allowance?
I sure do.
Say, fellas, get that red ant off the tree over there. Those ants are crawling all over him. Ray, what about the money end of the situation between a husband and wife?
Well, I believe she ought to run the house.
And she should have the money?
Yes.
My goodness. What about the honor of the CBs? You think that they should have separate vacations, Jeannie?
Why, no.
What about Ray?
No.
Uh-huh. Are you doing anything later on tonight, Jean?
Why, no.
Ray?
No.
Pretty good picker, huh? Well, now, as you two lovers are sitting on the log, weaving your rosy dreams of the future, out in the forest, a lovely little black and white creature of the forest comes blithely in and sits on the log's bare chest. Look out, Jean, it's a skunk!
I know!
She knows! Ray, protect her from the skunk. Don't worry now. Keep snoring, Ray, down there. Remember the $50. How does the skunk feel down there? There goes the snore. Nothing but snoring. Take the skunk away. Can't do any good with him. Still can't make him stop snoring. Now that the skunk is gone, the rain clouds have passed over, the ants have crawled up the pant leg, the boy lover decides to make this moment live forever. So he pulls out his pocket knife and carves his initials in the log. No, put the knife away. We've gone far enough. My golly, I guess we've tested you out far enough, haven't you? You've snored enough?
Yes.
He wasn't supposed to talk, was he, Gene?
No.
You didn't hear the gong ring, did you? Oh, you talked too soon. Oh, what happened to you shouldn't happen to a log. No kidding. You lose the $50, but as a consolation prize, Raleigh Cigarettes wants you to have this 17-jewel Gruen Precision wristwatch, and we'll gladly buy it back from you after the program for $50. If you'd rather have the $50. You don't have dates, do you? Ray, our CB, would you mind getting up off the log?
Yeah.
Thank you. Ray, you get $10 to last you through the early part of the evening, and the young lady, Jean...
Jean Delaney.
Jean Delaney, what size hose do you wear?
A 10.
Could you use 3 pairs of Holly Vogue nylons styled by Armin? Well, there they are. And by the way, and 2 cartons of Raleigh cigarettes.
Thank you very much.
And Mr...
Fulmer?
Mr. Fulmer, would you like to win an additional... You're what? Well, we'll trade those in for the right size. Don't worry, they're 9 1/2. She's worried about a half a size.
They're 9 1/2.
Mr. Fulmer, would you like to win something more? We have an additional prize, another experiment, and the expression this time is a bump on a log.
No, thanks. I've had plenty.
Oh, put away the club, John. And thanks very much for proving that people are funny.
A car a day given away by the makers of Raleigh cigarettes.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, 7 brand new 1946 Chevrolets given away every week. See them at your local dealer, and here's the way you win one.
In 25 words or less, complete this sentence. We should all buy victory bonds because... Entries judged on uniqueness, originality, and most convincing statement. Judge's decision final, duplicate prizes in case of ties. Entries become the property of Raleigh. Contest limited to United States and members of the armed forces abroad.
Winners are chosen from entries received each day. Yes, there's a new contest every day, and you have lots of chances to win. So enter again and again.
Send your entries to Raleigh Cigarettes, Box 1200, Chicago, Illinois. That's Raleigh Cigarettes, Box 1200, Chicago, Illinois. With each entry, enclose 2 complete wrappers or reasonable facsimiles from 2 packs of Raleigh Cigarettes.
Do it tonight. Complete this sentence in 25 words or less. We should all buy victory bonds because... Win yourself a brand new Chevrolet.
And there's the signal for the start of the Royal Raleigh $100 Derby.
Yes, sir. The winner collects this nice new $100 bill I'm holding here in the left hand. And, Ted, who are tonight's Raleigh Derby starters?
As usual, 3 servicemen, Art. Soldier, Corporal Olin Palmer from Baltimore, Maryland. Sailor, Hospital Apprentice Second Class Jerry Cohen from Brooklyn, New York. Marine Bill Shaftlin from Louisville, Kentucky.
That gives us a mighty good distribution. We have 2 Southern boys and a New York boy. Soldier, which theater of war have you been in, Olin?
Well, I've been on this side the whole time.
You've been, what are these ribbons here for? Good conduct?
Oh, good conduct, American theater.
American theater and so forth. Jerry, you married or single?
Single.
How about you, Bill?
Single.
And you, Olin?
Single.
Uh-huh. 3 no-time losers, eh? What will you do with a $100 bill if you win it, Corporal?
Well, I'd like to buy a suit, a blue one.
A blue suit? Uh-huh. You got enough points to be looking forward to one?
Well, not yet.
But you want to have the suit hanging there. How about you, Jerry Cohen?
Well, I want to buy a car unless you want to give me one.
Well, we're giving one away every day. You might get one. And, Bill, how about you with 100?
I want to take a course in refrigeration.
A course in refrigeration?
Yep.
I know a girl. Now, it's an alarm clock race, which means she has a look that'll freeze you. We have an alarm clock set for just a few moments before we go off the air. And when that alarm clock rings, the one of you who has the most Raleigh cigarettes at the very second the alarm clock rings wins the $100 bills for keeps. Now, we're going to start with a game on famous middle names. I'll call out the middle name only, and you come back with the right last name. And the one who calls out first collects the Raleighs, so no helps, please, from the audience. It's a three-way contest. 100 Raleigh cigarettes for the last name when the middle name is Beecher.
Harriet Beecher.
Harriet Beecher what?
Stowe.
Stowe, that's right. The Marine gets 100 Raleigh cigarettes and a hold in a $100 bill. Another 100 Raleighs for the last name when the middle name is Whitcomb.
Riley.
Riley, the Marine's in there. James Whitcomb Riley. Another 100 Raleighs. 200 Raleighs for the last name when the middle name is Bernard.
Sure.
Sailor Jerry Cohen gets 200 Raleighs. You each have a hold on a $100 bill. It's tied there. 200 Raleighs again for the last name when the middle name is Buddington. Shh, please. Clarence. I'm sorry, the gong. Clarence Buddington Kellen. That's right. It's 300 Raleighs now. And the last name when the middle name is Graham.
Bell.
Soldier, Allen, Palmer gets in there for 300 Raleighs. Who's ahead?
Now, soldier's ahead, 300 to 200 for each of the other boys.
Give him the $100 bill, fellas. Thank you. 300 Raleighs again. 300 Raleighs for the last name when the middle name is Collins.
Foster.
Marine, Bill Shaflin, Stephen Collins Foster. And now it's 400 Raleigh cigarettes for the last name when the middle name is Fenimore.
Boftonmore.
No. Not Beth, that's a fellow butcher down the street. Fenimore, what's the last name? He's an author, early American author.
Wrote Riley? About,
no, not Riley. He wrote about Indians. I'm sorry, James Fenimore Cooper. Remember him? All right, we get into the news of the week. I'll shoot the questions, you shoot the answers. And for 100 Raleigh cigarettes, what five-star general appeared before the Congressional Military Committee yesterday in behalf of peacetime training? Five-star general.
MacArthur.
No. MacArthur's on the other side, remember?
Eisenhower.
Eisenhower. Corporal Palmer got in there for 100 Raleighs.
Yes.
And once again, 100 Raleighs. What prominent Britisher addressed a joint session of Congress this week?
McNulty.
Not McNulty. No. He's a fraternity brother of mine.
Prime Minister?
Prime Minister who?
Attlee.
Sailor Jerry Cohen. It's 200 Raleighs now. The Nobel Peace Prize for 1945 was awarded to what former member of the cabinet?
Bing.
Bing Crosby. Is he on the cabinet now? He's done everything else. He was formerly Secretary of State. Simpson?
Simpson.
Not Stathenius. Under President Roosevelt, he's Secretary of State.
Jones? Farstall.
No. We've gotten everybody in the government so far. It was Hull. Sorry. 200 Raleighs again. In China, who is the leader of the Nationalists? The Nationalist government in China. Palmer was first. I'm sorry. He got the last word out. 200 for the corporal. And how's the score now, Ted?
The corporal's still ahead. He has 600 Raleigh cigarettes. The Marine has 500. The sailor, 300 Raleigh.
Oh, boy, it's close. Up to 300 Raleighs. Anybody can win. What Secretary of the Navy is going to resign soon, they say?
Simpson.
No. What present Secretary of the Navy?
Stathenius?
No, not Stathenius. What Secretary of the Navy? Come on, Jerry Cohen, you're in it. I'm sorry, it was Forrestal. One more here. 300 Raleighs again. And Armistice Day this week was what anniversary of the ending of World War One? The 20 what?
25th.
No.
20.
No.
24th.
No.
7th.
The Marine, 27. Oh, murder. 27. And that puts the Marine in the lead right now. It's 400 Raleighs. The bell. And how far ahead was he, Ted?
Well, the Marine has 800 Raleigh cigarettes, the soldier has 600, and the sailor has 300 Raleighs.
Well, there she goes. And you two losers, in addition to getting all the cigarettes, you two losers each get a Ronson cigarette lighter and a service kit and all the cigarettes that you won. And Marine Bill Shaflin. Shaflin, is it?
Shaflin
from Louisville, Kentucky. What'd you do back in Louisville, Bill?
I worked in a defense plant.
Uh-huh. You're single.
Yes,
and what are you going to do to with that $100?
Going to take up, of course, refrigeration.
That's right, the freezing man. And, of course,
a little pop on the ice.
I'll put a little pop there. And all three of you have an opportunity, of course, to use your Raleigh wrappers from the cigarettes you've won to enter the Car a Day contest. And congratulations to all three, you fine fellas. Good night. Hey, wait a minute. That means it's time to announce the latest winners of Raleigh's sensational Car a Day contest. Listen carefully.
Winner of November 13th, a brand new Chevrolet goes to Mr. Jerry C. Poutry of Houston, Texas.
Winner of November 14th, another new Chevrolet goes to Mrs. M. J. Phillips of Greensburg, Pennsylvania.
Winner of November 15th, still another new Chevrolet goes to Mrs. Ivan J. Reinhold of Reseda, California.
Congratulations, you three winners.
More winners will be announced Tuesday night on the Raleigh Room Show starring Hildegard. And friends, you too can win a brand new Chevrolet just as easy as the winners we've announced tonight.
Complete this sentence in 25 words or less. We should all buy victory bonds because. Send your entries to Raleigh Cigarettes. That's Box 1200, Chicago, Illinois, together with two complete wrappers from two packs of Raleigh cigarettes. Do it tonight. Win a new Chevrolet. And now out in the wings of our studio here in Columbia, in NBC in Hollywood, I see our lady, wrong network, Mrs. Rita Bradford, the lady who went out with the birdcage to the library. And which library did you go to, Mrs. Bradford?
The Hollywood Library.
The Hollywood Library. Not the one on Melrose Avenue that we mentioned?
No.
Well, as a matter of fact, we didn't tell you to go to the Melrose Library. We just said that there was one there. You see, we wanted to find out how many of our adventurous listeners would rush over there to try to get the $500 diamond ring. And we sent one of our assistants, he's a library bug, always hanging around bookie joints, to see how many folks went up to the Melrose Library. How about it, Johnny Murray?
There are close to 35, Art,
who wandered in looking for the ring.
Standing on the porch, waiting, looking around.
Mm-hmm. And Mrs. Bradford, I see that you brought back somebody, a redhead with curly hair. Where did you find him?
In the library.
Would you step up to the microphone, please, sir? What's your name?
Edwards. O.D. Edwards.
O.D. Edwards. What do you do, Mr. Edwards?
I'm a grip.
You're a grip?
Studio grip.
What does a grip do?
Oh, he helps build scaffolds. He has to be a half monkey and half man.
I see. And what studio do you work for?
I work for the Republic.
Uh-huh. What were you doing in the, what were you doing in the library?
I was reading a book on So You Want to Write a Song.
Oh, you want to be a songwriter, do you? Mm-hmm. What did you think when she came up and whispered in your ear, you're the right guy, you're the right page, you're the right setup. Huh?
I thought she was nuts.
Mrs. Bradford, did you have much trouble getting him to come back with you?
Oh, I'll say I did.
What did he do, first of all?
He looked at me puzzled. He just thought there was something the matter with me.
Well, when you showed him the $500 diamond ring, didn't that get his interest up?
No, he still thought there was something the matter with me. He just kept looking at me.
Well, how did you finally try to... How'd you get him to come? You brought him back with you.
Well, everything was quiet in the library, you know, and...
Yeah.
All of a sudden, this clock that you had.
You mean there was a clock inside that birdcage?
Yeah.
Oh, what a dirty trick. The thing rang right in the middle of that quiet library?
Yes.
We meant to turn that off. We had it set for a friend of ours who's sleeping over a... Well, never mind. Well, what finally happened?
Well, the alarm clock went off. And the librarian, she started to walk over, and she had an awful look on her face, and everybody looked up at me.
Yeah, were there many people in the library?
Yes, there were quite a few.
And what would the librarian say to you?
Well, she didn't say anything, but she started to come over, and she looked at me and gave me an awful look.
How long did the alarm clock ring?
Oh, it seems like it never stopped.
Well, then what happened? How'd you get him to get out of the library and leave his book on how to write a song?
Well, I guess he was so embarrassed with the
He was glad to get out under any pretext, weren't you? Well, come right up to the microphone. Are you married, sir?
No, sir.
Uh-huh. Are you engaged?
Yes.
Well, what did she tell you that you'd get if you went away with her? What did she tell you the chief had?
She didn't tell me I'd get anything. She just kept showing me this ring and says, I'll get it if you come with me.
Yeah? Well, you're going to get it because here is your reward, Mr.
Edwards.
A $500 genuine keepsake diamond ring with certificate of registration and guarantee. And Mrs. Bradford, for you, for being a grand manhunter, a 30-piece set of sterling silver, a product of the National Silver Company. And thanks for helping us prove that people are funny.
Listen to People Are Funny next Friday night.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.